I just have one verse for our text. It's 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. We are studying 1 Timothy on Wednesday evenings, and we got to this verse a couple of weeks ago, and it just gripped me, and so I shared with you today. And it says, beyond all question, the mystery from which true godliness springs is great. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. He appeared in the flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. The word of our God. I know my title is ambitious. The title is What We Believe, and of course, I cannot cover everything that we believe in one sermon. And so just wanted to make that disclaimer. This past week, two Baptist congregations, experienced tragedies that are impacting today's celebration of Easter. On Tuesday, a tornado ran through Bell and Williamson counties here in Texas, and it completely destroyed and leveled the Victory Baptist Church sanctuary, leaving the church building in a heap of rubble on the foundation. So today's celebration of Christ's resurrection will be different for that pastor and the people of Victory Baptist Church. But I tell you, God is a good God. People in that community came and cleared off that foundation, and they set up chairs and said, we're going to have worship today on chairs on a foundation. Hallelujah. And then on Friday, a couple of hours after Good Friday worship ended, the historic Antioch Baptist Church of Chicago was destroyed by a huge, massive fire. It was awful to see the footage on television. Antioch Baptist Church, where the late Reverend Dr. Wilbur N. Daniels was the pastor for a long time, was at one time the largest Protestant congregation in Chicago. It was one of the original mega churches when we didn't have that label, when we didn't have those size congregations. Antioch was a mega church. And I preached there and worshiped there through the years. And now my colleague Gerald Dew, who is a native Texan, he's from Fort Worth, Texas, is the current pastor. So their celebration of Resurrection Sunday today, after having been in worship on Friday, just like us, they left the church, and 2 hours later, it's engulfed in flames. The celebration of Christ's resurrection will be different for the pastor and people of Antioch. Pray for those pastors. Pray for those congregations. What do we do when the symbols of our faith are destroyed? What do we do when the place that holds the memories of our faith development, our faith journey, is destroyed? What do we do, the place where we were baptized, where we were confirmed in our faith, where we participated in youth ministry, where we participated in worship, where we were married, where our babies were presented to the Lord. When that place is burned to the ground, what do we do? We learn, as the people of Victory Baptist and Antioch Baptist are learning, to hold on to the essential elements of our faith. Because what we believe is greater than a place. And what we believe about Christ shapes us even when the foundations of life are crumbling. The Bible says, if the foundations, this isn't on my paper, it just dropped in my spirit. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And hold on to our faith and what we believe. Christians come in all shapes and sizes. They come from many different ethnic groups and cultural backgrounds. An Episcopal church in Europe might articulate and reflect the faith in a different way than an Episcopal church in Africa. The Victory Baptist Church in Bell County is different than the Antioch Baptist Church on the south side of Chicago. But all of us as Christians share a common faith. We share the same biblical story, and we share the same power of Christ. And so what connects Christians across cultures and across historical settings is what we believe. Easter Sunday is the high point of the Christian year. It is not only a celebration of the resurrection of Christ, but it is also a declarative statement about what we believe. That's why the play went through the story, because we declare today what we believe. Everything about our faith, our praying, our singing, our study of the word, our acts of service, our evangelistic outreach is rooted in Jesus Christ. And for us, the secret that produces faith in persons is Jesus Christ. He is the revealed mystery of our faith. Often early Christian hymns were used as tributes or odes to God, and these hymns were constructed to teach, admonish, and build up the community. And so the writer of 1 Timothy inserts this hymn, this portion of an old Christian hymn, into his message to highlight our core Christian beliefs. The writer shares it, and so let's unpack it for a moment. Joette Basler contends that this hymn is divided into three essential stanzas, and each stanza contains what we believe about Christ. I'm not going to parse it exactly as she does, but let's draw something from this hymn in Timothy. The hymn says, "He appeared in the flesh," so that Christians believe Christ's incarnation. That's what that word incarnation means, in flesh. He appeared in the flesh. Christians believe that Christ is God in the flesh. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." It goes on to say in the 14th chapter, that first chapter of John, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." This word that John speaks about, which was in the beginning, with God in the beginning, this word is God. So Christians believe that Jesus Christ is God. He is God in the flesh. That they believe that God became a human being. That this great God, that this invisible God, this powerful God that created the heavens and the earth, one day became a human being and walked the earth in the person of Jesus Christ. And engages in earthly ministry. So the church believes in the earthly human ministry of Jesus Christ. And that ministry includes teaching. It includes preaching. It includes healing. Jesus heals the sick. Jesus casts out demons. Jesus raises the dead. Jesus has an earthly ministry. He is human. He walks the earth. And he understands what we experience. That's one of the core principles of our faith. That God comes to the earth in human form. He becomes Jesus on the earth. I've told you, Ebenezer, about my friend who rejects the Christian claims about Christ. And he has tried on several occasions to point out to me the fallacies of the biblical accounts in the Gospels. And he said that he believes in God, but he doesn't believe in Jesus. And he's tried more than once to get me to denounce Christ and the church. Isn't that something? I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. If he wanted to try to convince somebody, maybe he should go to somebody else. But he comes to, but then, if that tells you, if somebody can come to a preacher or a pastor and try to get that person to denounce his faith, then they will come to anybody and try to get them to denounce their faith. And I constantly tell my friend that even though he says he believes in God, he says, I believe, I see God in creation, I see God around us, I see God in nature, so I believe in God. I constantly tell him that you cannot believe in God without believing in Christ. Because Christ is God. And the whole crux of our faith is rooted in Jesus Christ. Paul says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. So we believe, Christians believe Christ's incarnation. He became flesh. And then the text also says that he was vindicated by the Spirit. What does that mean? Vindicated by the Spirit. That for us, it means we believe the testimony of the Spirit. When it says he was vindicated by the Spirit, it means that the Spirit empowers Jesus' earthly ministry. Because Jesus at his baptism receives the anointing of the Spirit. The Spirit descends upon him in the form of a dove. And this descent is an acknowledgement of Christ, God's selection and approval of Christ. Christ carries out his ministry of teaching, preaching, and healing through the power of the Spirit. He is able to cast out demons because of the Spirit. He is able to heal blind Bartimaeus. Because of the Spirit. He is able to go to the grave of Lazarus even after he's been in there 4 days and call Lazarus from death because of the Spirit. Jesus' ministry is done in the power of the Spirit. And so when we say we are Christians, we say we believe the testimony of the Holy Spirit. Now I'm not talking about that Spirit that makes us jump up on Sundays. And makes us get happy and worship on. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ that lives in us and walks with us daily. His ministry is in the power of the Spirit. This phrase, vindicated by the Spirit, means that the Spirit empowers Jesus' ministry. It also points to the death and resurrection of Jesus. He's been vindicated by the Spirit. We believe that Jesus was crucified. Saw that today on a cross. For our sin and our justification. Paul says, but God commendeth his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Our celebration, the reason we celebrate today is that the death could not hold Christ hostage. That's why the choir just saying, come see where he lay. Come see where death had a grip on him, but death could not hold him hostage. Because we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And through the resurrection of Christ, God validates his earthly ministry and sacrifice for our redemption. Through the resurrection, Jesus is vindicated as Lord. That's what it means when it says vindicated by the Spirit. That when God came to the tomb on the third day morning and rolled away the stone, God was saying in effect, your ministry is validated. Your ministry is vindicated. I'm going to get you up and raise you in power. So he's vindicated. He died on the cross, but on the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead. The Spirit is at work in the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus. I remember in the Gospel of Matthew, when the Pharisees accused Jesus of working through the power of Beelzebub. It says that he cast out demons by the power of the ruler of demons. In effect, they suggested that Jesus' power came from Satan. And then Jesus responds and says, your argument doesn't even make sense. Because if I'm working for Satan and I'm casting out Satan, I'm working against myself. When you work against yourself, your kingdom will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, his kingdom cannot stand. That's one point he makes. But then Jesus says, if it's not the devil that's working through me, then it has to be the Spirit working through me. And you either follow me because the Spirit is working through me, or you scatter the people of God. It is the Spirit. We believe the testimony of the Spirit. I'm almost done. I'm trying to get through. I know you're all tired. I'm tired too. If you help me, I'll get out of here. We believe Christ's incarnation. He came in flesh. We believe the testimony of the Spirit. The Spirit empowers his earthly ministry. The Spirit vindicates him through his death and resurrection. And we believe in the power of the gospel. Because the Bible says he was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world. Now, I'm parsing this differently than the scholar suggests, but I wanted to get to this point. Because these phrases point to the mission of the church. During his earthly ministry, Jesus calls persons to be his disciples and to join him in the work of redemption. And he gets 12 disciples and hundreds of followers. He teaches them about the kingdom of God. He teaches them about his redemptive mission. He teaches them the message of faith. And it is that message that transforms his disciples and his followers. They believe the gospel because they experience the power of the gospel personally. And God takes these disciples and commissions and empowers them to go out in his name. So in Luke, the Bible says when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He sent them to go out and do his ministry in the world so that the mission of Christ becomes our mission. So just as the message of the gospel has the power to change our lives, we believe in the power of the gospel to change the lives of other people. Why do we preach? Why do we have worship on Sundays? Why do we witness? We preach. We witness. We spread the message of faith because we know that the gospel carries Spirit power. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. As Christians, We believe the message of the gospel. Well, let me just say this. Do you guys believe it? Huh? I'm saying we do. Do you believe that the gospel can change someone's life? Do you believe that the gospel has power in it to turn our lives around? Then why aren't you sharing the gospel with somebody? Why aren't you telling somebody if you believe its power? When I was young, I was an assistant pastor in Chicago in my early 20s. I met a powerful woman of God. Her name was Maddie Colbert. I might have told you about her before. She was not well educated. She didn't own her own home. She worked as a domestic. There was nothing overtly impressive about her. She was simply a Christian woman who was on fire for God. God had changed her life, and she wanted everyone to know about it. I first encountered her at prayer meeting. Because when we would be praying, she would line out one of those old meter hymns. And she'd sing, "One thing I know, I've been born again. One thing I know, I've been born again." And I'd be hearing her, she said it better than me, but I'd be hearing her sing those hymns. And that's how I got her attention. But I didn't know that Maddie lived in an apartment building in a rough neighborhood in Chicago. And she went through that building in that rough neighborhood and told all of her neighbors about Jesus Christ. And she was responsible for leading most of the families in that apartment building and the children to faith in Jesus Christ. I didn't say she led them to church or invited them to church. She got on the knees with them in her home and led them to faith in Jesus Christ. And when they got to the church, they were already saved. They were already Christians because they met Jesus in Maddie's apartment. Maddie took Jesus seriously. She believed in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So evangelism is not an option. Evangelism is not just for Jackie Gales and Ruth Washington and the evangelism ministry. Evangelism and proclaiming the gospel is the ongoing calling of every believer in Jesus Christ. Cannot be connected to him without being connected to his mission. I'm almost done. We believe the exaltation of Christ. I know it's a lot, but let me just get it up, out. Text says he was taken up in glory. I like that phrase because it points to the ascension and exaltation of Christ. After his resurrection, Jesus spends time with the disciples. His appearances further convince them of who he is and his resurrection. And Luke tells us what happens after those appearances. Jesus speaks to them and says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he had said this, the Bible says he was taken up before their very eyes and a cloud hid him from their sight. So Jesus ascends back to glory. A cloud enshrines him and transports him to the heavenly realm. That's why the Bible says, "Fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Paul tells us about his exaltation in Philippians chapter 2. He says, "Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." We believe in the exaltation of Christ. We proclaim to the world that Jesus is Lord. Easter is more than a celebration. Easter is an acknowledgement of the complete sovereignty of Christ. There is no other name. There is no other Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. I was growing up in the church, Chicago. I would hear people use a greeting formula which I think is a little faulty. People at my church would get up and say, if they had to do something, good morning. And then they would say, giving an honor to God, to the pastor, and blessings to all of you. And then they would continue with their message. And that phrase, giving an honor to God, became almost a universal catchphrase. You hear it all over the country. And I get it. To many, it's an attempt to reverence God. It's an attempt to acknowledge God as sovereign Lord. But the catchphrase is inaccurate, because we cannot give honor to God. Only God can give honor. We can praise God. We can thank God. But we cannot give God honor, because God retains honor. He doesn't need any honor from us. We need honor from God. God retains glory. And God has granted honor to Jesus Christ. And our task is to obey Christ. Our task is to live for Christ. Our task is to lift up Jesus Christ. What we believe might not make sense to persons of other faiths. So don't go out there and try to wrestle with them. Let them be. If that's what they believe, let them believe it. That's okay. The gospel doesn't always make sense. What we believe might run counter to the things in the world. But that's okay also, because we are called to be different. We are called to be living reflections of Jesus Christ. But hold on, beloved, to what you believe today. Because what we believe is what has kept us. What we believe is what has blessed us. What we believe is what has answered our prayers. What we believe is what has healed us. What we believe is what has opened doors for us. What we believe is what has comforted us in sorrow. What we believe is what has strengthened us. What we believe is what has equipped us. What we believe is what has brought us to church today. We didn't come to wear our Sunday go to meeting outfits today. We didn't come just to let you all think we look good. We came because of what we believe. We came because of who we believe in. We believe in Jesus Christ. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey right now. Nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus has brought me. Nobody but Jesus has kept me. Nobody but Jesus. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Nobody. I'm sorry for hollering. I'm sorry, but I've been on the journey a little while, and I've seen the Lord work blessings in my life. I've seen where He brought me from. I've seen what He brought me through. I've seen what He's done for me. And I know He's done something for you. Has He opened doors for you? Has He healed your body? Has He made a way? Has He blessed you? Thank Him. Invitation. invitation is extended. I never shall forget what he's done for me. Sweet. Come on, deacons, ministers, greeters. To extend the invitation to Christ, you can join us today in the sanctuary. You can join us online by going to belonging at ebc3austin.org. What he's done for me. Come on. Oh, will you stand? Oh, what he's done for me, I never shall forget. What? One more time. Oh, what he's done. Oh, what he's done for me. He took my feet out the miry clay. Took my feet out the miry clay. That's what he's done for me. Isn't that right? Took my feet out the miry clay. That's what he's done for me. Oh, took my what he's done for me. I never shall forget. What he picked me up and turned me around. Pick me up and turn me around. What he's done for me. Pick me up and turn me around. Oh, what he's done for me. I never shall forget. Oh, what he's, oh, what he's done. Jumped around, and I'm knocking the windscreen off. just so uncouth. But I don't mind it, because Jesus had brought me all the way, beloved. God bless you. Happy Easter, and blessings to you. Pray for those congregations. I mentioned my heart is heavy, especially because I know Antioch, the Antioch congregation personally. So pray for those churches and pastors till we meet again. Amen. There's so many faces I see today, members who have come back to worship. I don't want to call names, but beloved, I'm so glad to see you. Amen. And thank God for worship today. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for another Lord's Day and the blessed privilege of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, O God, for this Easter worship experience and for the powerful story shared with us through our play presentation. Thank you for Dr. Aldaco and Sister Tamara West and the whole crew and the media team and the PA people and all of the persons involved in trying to make sure everything worked well. Thank you for their time, their patience, and their service. And thank you, O Lord, for the message, reminding us of what we believe. We believe that Christ became flesh. We believe Christ's incarnation. You are God in the flesh. We believe, O God, the testimony of the Spirit. The Spirit empowers Jesus' ministry. The Spirit vindicates Jesus through resurrection. We believe in the power of the gospel. It's that gospel that changed the disciples and transformed them. It's the gospel that transformed us. It's the gospel that is our mission as followers of Christ to share that. And we believe in the exaltation of Christ. We know that Christ is not buried somewhere. Christ lives. And he's seated at the right hand of God, receiving glory, honor, and praise. And now may the blessings of God be upon you. May God equip you with all you need to do his will. May he lead you forth with joy and sustain you by his perfect peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.